Next coach on the teleconference is Iowa's Kirk Ferentz. Iowa hosts Penn State on Saturday, a 7:30 p.m. Eastern Time kickoff on ABC. Coach, thank you very much for joining us. If you could give us some opening comments, then we'll go ahead and take questions.
Through Saturday, it was hard fought. North Texas played a really good game, and fortunately, we were able to play a little bit better in the second half and come away with the victory. So we're happy about that. Happy about being 3-0 at this point. But I think everybody's excited about starting conference play, certainly, and a big challenge. You know, we open up right away with as good a team as there is in the conference. So we've got a big challenge in front of us, and certainly a lot of work to do between now and kickoff. But it should be a great environment, and playing just an outstanding opponent.
Thank you, Coach. We'll open the call for questions now.
To ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. As a reminder, if there are no questions in the queue, following two prompts, we'll conclude that coach's portion of the call. Your first question is from Bill Bender, Sporting News.
Hey, Coach. Good afternoon.
Hi. How are you?
Good. I looked this up, and I hope I'm right, but I think your first win was a night game against Northern Illinois in 99. So, what do you remember maybe about your first experience in that night game atmosphere at Kinnick?
Night games are really special, and a lot of things have changed since then. But Kinnick's always been a great home field and a great stadium. And when you play night games, it's really special. I think the first one here was 92, I believe. It was I was coaching at Maine at that time, but they played Miami, and I know that was a real big event to play a night game. And I think we've had 13 overall. I might be wrong on that, but at least the ones I've been involved with, it's always very, very electric in there.
And you guys have developed a reputation because of that, kind of being that tough out night games. You know, what has led to that? You know, why are you guys, you know, is there an extra gear that comes with playing at night at Kinnick?
Yeah, I don't know. You take me back to that Northern Illinois one. I don't know if we'd ever win a game, first of all, and it didn't come easy that night. If I remember, LeVar Woods returned a blocked field goal. I think it was our only touchdown, but it was hardly a resounding victory. But, I'm not sure I can give you an answer. Maybe our guys are still brings out the high school one, but it's kind of like playing a high school game when you get to play on Friday nights in high school. That's exciting. And to have a chance to do it on Saturday nights, too, it's a pretty good thing.
Thanks, Coach. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Your next question is from Jeremiah Davis, Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Hey, Coach. You never seem to be, anyway, one to give specific critiques of a player, you know, when those of us in the media ask you a question. Just curious why you've gone about it that way, and if there is any value in publicly talking about a player making a mistake.
I'm not sure I'm following the question totally. What exactly about a critiquing of a guy?
Like if a guy makes a mistake in a game and,
okay.
and you get asked about it after the game, you've at least in my experience, you've shied away from giving specific criticisms of a player. And I was just curious why you've gone that route and if there's any value in doing it.
I follow you. So, coincidentally, I was riding into work this morning and they were talking about one of the NFL coaches, I guess, made a comment that wasn't overly complimentary towards a quarterback in a certain situation. And, I guess the way I look at it, I just think there's such a huge difference between coaching in college and high school than there is in the NFL. Yeah, the NFL is all about business, and anybody that's ever coached there or played there, you realize it real quickly. Whereas I just kind of view college football and high school football a little bit differently, and you kind of resort back to what your mom taught you. You know, if you can't say something nice about someone, you try not to say it. And I think that's, at least when I try to talk about our players, that's kind of the approach I have. And if I've got something to be critical of one of their performances or attitudes, then kind of prefer to visit with them in private about that and just, take care of those things there in that way.
Thanks, Coach.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one. Your next question is from Rob Cassidy, Rivals.com.
Hey, Kirk, I've kind of been surveying some coaches about this, and I want to get your take because you've been at it a while. If there was an NCAA rule, if they told you you could change any rule you wanted to tomorrow, which one would you tweak?
Oh, God. Where would I start, huh? Where would I start?
You can give me a couple if you want.
Are you talking about recruiting more so, or?
Anything that comes to your mind.
Oh, man. I'd have to think about that before I said something stupid, but I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean, you know, we've got a great game, but I think there's some things that probably need to get addressed. And one of my biggest concerns right now, personally, is just I think somehow we've got to put a lid on staff sizes nationally. I just, you know, we had an issue in strength and conditioning. It's probably been 7-8 years ago, and where things were getting a little bit out of hand, and people were doing things they probably shouldn't have been doing in that field, that quote-unquote field. So I think, you know, at some point I think we're going to have to come to grips with, you know, how many people does it take to really run efficiently a college football operation. And you know, whether that number's, you know, 29 or 49, I really don't care, but I think there ought to be some uniformity and, you know, try to find a way just to rein some of this stuff in. And a lot of it's recruiting-driven, quite frankly, but you know, I think, you know, the game's still supposed to be about the players, and coaches are still – best part about coaching is the relationship you have with players. So it's just not quite as intimate as it used to be, I guess.
Appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if you'd like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Your next question is from Allison Hayes, Big Ten Network.
Hi, Coach. I was wondering if you could just give us an update on Akram Wadley and how he's faring and where you see him on Saturday.
He'll hopefully play a prominent role for us like he should every Saturday. He's doing fine. You know, he had to leave the game, but I think he could have gone back in if he had to. The other guys are doing just fine. And then, you know, he practiced yesterday and today, so he's back up and running.
Feel like he's 100%?
Sure hope so. Yeah, I think he is, and sure hope so.
And can you talk about just the development of your youth at running back and how important that is, especially when a guy like Akram goes out?
You know, you just never know what's going to happen in the course of a season. And, you know, go back to 08 when we had Sean Green. Sean pretty much carried the load all the way through with, you know, with a couple exceptions. But on Fred Russell, who's not a big guy but played big, you know, he did the same thing in 02, 03. But you know, more times than not, you need to get at least two or three guys involved. And the way it worked out Saturday, it was four. So just really fortunate that both Torin Young and Ivory Kelly Martin were guys that have been practicing well. So as coaches, we all had confidence in them because we've seen them work, you know, day in and day out. And they really got their first opportunity, good opportunity Saturday, and both of them did a really nice job. So not that they're out of the woods yet, but it was really good for them to get that experience. And James Butler will not be back for a while, so having Akram plus those two guys, that at least gives us you know, a group of three to work with at that position.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And then looking at Penn State's defense, it just how big of a challenge is that, their speed, and how do you guys sort of combat that?
You know, I grew up in that part of the country, so, I you know, moved there, I guess, it was 63, I think. So ever since I was a little kid, I've been watching their teams, and there's one commonality. They always look good in their uniforms, and then when the ball snapped, they move pretty good. They've got good-looking guys that are good athletes and typical, and that's certainly the case this year. They're a well-coached outfit. So they, on both sides of the ball, they just got a lot of good players that play really well, and they play a lot of people on defense. You know, they really haven't been tested at all this year, so it makes it a real challenge, you know, when you look at the film to find answers. And you know, we're trying to search for a couple, but you know, they're just a really good group of players, and they're you know, they're playing very well.
How do you feel like your offensive line matches up with their defensive line?
It's really kind of hard to say, you know, because we're kind of dissimilar to the teams that they've played, maybe with the exception of Pitt. But I know this: we had our hands full last year, and based on what I'm seeing on the tape, it's going to be the same thing. It's going to be a big challenge for our. For our guys up front, they're going to really have to, you know, play at their best, and you know, hopefully we can do that.
Thanks, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach, thank you very much for your time today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks.